and Shanvarik. This authentic two-story building was originally constructed in 1890 as the Valcarra Police Barracks and used as such until 1922, when it became the Valcarra Garda Station. This period in history coincides with the most memorable time in the development of the Irish Republic, and therefore the building has witnessed some dramatic events. Ballyconnell House. Ballyconnell House was built by Wyburn's Alford, who had bought the estate from Captain Henry Hart, to whom it had originally been granted as part of the plantations of Ulster. The family originally lived at the Bowen Manor at Ballyness, Valcarra. The Alford estate was a very large one, comprising 18,363 acres. Sir John Alford, who died in 1917, was the last Alford in Ballyconnell. He is buried in the woodlands at Ballyconnell among his flowers. In 1926, the Alford family sold the estate to the Loretta Order, who set up a preparatory teaching college for girls called College of Regia. It has since then been used as a boys' boarding school by College in the Crush and Leifa, and was bought by Uthers and the Gaeltachta in 1989. Ballyconnell is home to the Clonhilly Golf Course. The distinctive walls of the estate are quite unique to the Clonhilly area, comprising layers of larger white-grey stones and flat shale layers. Ballyness Pier. The pier at Ballyness was built in 1848 during the famine, under a relief work scheme enabled by the public works which had been set up by the British government. It enabled the workers on relief schemes to purchase relief food such as Indian meal or oats. Bridge of Tears. Local people who were emigrating to Scotland, England, America and Australia would walk on this road on their way to the shipping port in Derry. Family and friends would accompany them out as far as this bridge. Here they would say their goodbyes. After passing through Muckish Gap, many would never return. The bridge is known as Draithne na Nior, or Bridge of Tears. The inscription on the stone reads, "This is as far as friends and relatives would accompany those leaving to emigrate. This was a place of separation. This is a bridge of tears." Castle Bowen. Castle Bowen was built around the 12th century and was a fortress for the O'Boyle clan. The O'Boyles were driven out of Clonhilly by a rival clan, the McSweeneys of Doe, in the late 14th century. The castle and surrounding land was granted to Captain Henry Hart for his loyalty to the Crown during the Ulster Plantation. In 1633, the lands were sold to Wybrant's Alford, who renovated the castle and resided there until Ballyconnell House was built in 1763. Flax and corn were important to Clonhilly in the 19th century. The ruins of a flax mill can be seen next to the castle ruins. The Clonhilly Stone. Balor, the mythological king of Torry Island, who is widely known as Balor of the Evil Eye, supposedly stole a highly prized cow and glass gavelin from McAneely, who lived at Dunlatinu, Valcarra. McAneely found out who had stolen this cow and he set out to kill Balor. McAneely's druid told him that Balor could only be killed by his grandson. Balor knew his enemy knew his weakness, so he kept his daughter Ethna in his prison on the eastern end of Torry. McAneely decided to disguise himself as a woman, and he successfully gained entry into the tower. When he removed his disguise, Ethna immediately fell in love with him. McAneely and Ethna had three sons together. But Balor found out and sent them to be drowned. However, one son named Lou survived. His uncle Gavida raised him. Balor seized McAneely and laid his head on a white stone, and he removed McAneely's head in one go with a sword. A red stain, which is said to be McAneely's blood, can be seen on the white stone to the present day. Crocnanaeve. Four saints who lived in the 6th century, St. Columcille, St. Begley, St. Duha and St. Finan, are closely associated with Clonhilly. They were constantly at odds as to who would preach to the people of Torry, the last pagan outpost in the area. They finally agreed that Whichever one of them was able to throw his crozier to the island from the hill above Maharorte would have the honour of converting the inhabitants of Torre. St. Begley threw his crozier, saying, "With my help and the help of God, my crozier will go to Torre." His crozier landed outside Falcarra. St. Finan and St. Duha invoked divine assistance with the same words, then threw their croziers. Again, their prayers were not answered. St. Finan's fell at Arirui, east of Falcarra, and Duha's fell on an island north of Inishbofinne. Columbkill then threw his crozier, saying, "With the help of God and my own help, my crozier will go to Torre." His crozier did indeed land on the island, and so Columbkill was chosen to convert the islanders. The other three saints built churches near where their croziers fell: Begley at Alla Begley, Duha in Inishduhi, and Finan in Rye. The hill from where the saints threw their croziers is known as Trucknaneuve, the Hill of Saints. College Ullu. In 1906, College Ullu, the first Irish college in Ulster and the second in Ireland, was opened in an Ardi Vig, Garta Horkia. Its main goal was to preserve and promote the Gaelic language. Among the famous people who studied or lectured in the college were three nationalists: Roger Casement, Padraig Pearse, and Joseph Mary Plunkett. In 1909, the college was transferred to the new parochial hall, where it remained until 1920, when it was burned down during the War of Independence by the Black and Tans. Classes were then held in the old courthouse, Falcarra, until the hall was repaired in 1923. In 1968, a new building was opened by President Eamon de Valera. Home built by Mickey McGowan. When Mickey McGowan returned home, he bought one of the finest farms in the parish from Sir John Nicholas Dick. The house was located in Cashel, Garta Horkia. The house features a peculiar gateway which an earlier occupant, Mr. Johnson, had made from the rib and jawbone of a whale which was beached in Maharorte around 1800. Home of Mickey McGowan. Mickey McGowan was born in this house in 1865, the eldest of a family of 12. At the age of 8, he was hired as a cowherd in Glenveagh, and 6 years later, while still a young boy, he travelled with countless other Donegal people to work as a tatty hooker, or farm labourer, in Scotland. Mickey then emigrated to North America, where he made his fortune mining gold. Mickey was a great raconteur and narrated his life story to his son-in-law, Dr. Sean O'Hoy, an eminent folklorist, who published it as Rochamore an Taol. The book was translated by Valentine Ironmonger, The Hard Road to Klondike. Kildrum Mines. In 1826, the Irish Mining Company opened the silver and lead mines in Kildrum. The first miners were Welshmen. Local men were employed hoisting the ore to the surface. It was, at first, quite productive, but in 1828, it was beset by water problems, and the mines closed in 1832. The same company reopened the mines in 1860, but they finally ceased work in 1862. The lime kiln. This lime kiln in Calhame belonged to the McGee family, who started to burn stone for the making of lime in the latter half of the 18th century. The kiln was at the bottom of the fields at that time. As demand for the lime increased, they later made a kiln near the road. They had to open a quarry and break stones with picks, iron bars and hammers. This involved very hard work, much of it being done over the winter months, as other manual work, such as turf cutting and harvesting of crops, had to be carried out during the finer weather. When the stones were ready, the kiln had to be lit, and an intense heat had to be kept in the kiln, depending on the amount of stone in it. Everything would have to be put through a riddle then to separate the rubbish from the stone. The lime was used to whitewash houses inside and out. Many farmers in the three parishes used it to fertilise their lands. This work stopped around 1960. Mass Rock, Ballybose. This altar stone, or Mass Rock, is said to have been used after the destruction of Rye Church and in penal law days when priests were outlawed. Portal Dolmen and Alch, Ardsbeg. This portal tomb or dolmen, known locally as Diarmuid an Gráinne's Bed, is a single-chamber megalithic tomb. It dates from the Neolithic to Bronze Age, 4000 to 1000 BC. Such a dolmen features two or more upright stones supporting a large capstone, its purpose being most likely a single grave. Rye Cross. Inside the ruins of Feenan's ancient church at Rye stands the magnificent cross of St. Columbkill. The church itself is said to have been founded by Feenan in the 6th century. The church survived until the middle of the 17th century when it was destroyed by a number of Cromwellian soldiers. This event became known as the Massacre of Rye, in which the entire mass-going congregation was slain one Sunday morning. The story of St. Columbkill's cross is an interesting one. When Columbkill and his monks were carrying this cross from Muckish to Torrey Island, they rested at the church of St. Feenan at Rye. Columbkill realised that he had forgotten his psalter. Feenan retrieved the book from beneath the wings of a large eagle who, it is said, was giving shelter to the holy book under its great wing. On returning with the book, Columbkill granted Feenan a wish. His wish was that the great cross, measuring 5.5 metres tall, be placed in his church at Rye. The Round Tower. The Round Tower on Torrey Island dates from medieval times and would have been a common feature in any Irish monastery. In Irish, its literal meaning is bell tower, indicating its purpose. Round towers played an important role in the defence of the monastery and its community, the only door being 2.6 metres from the ground. In the instance of a Viking invasion, the bell would be rung and the monks and others would climb up a ladder to gain entry to the tower, with the ladder being pulled up when all were safely in. St. Anne's Church, Killult. St. Anne's Church was consecrated in 1820 and rebuilt in 1840 after fire destroyed the original building. The vestry extension was added in 1889. In the graveyard stands an obelisk erected in the memory of the ill-fated crew of the HMS Wasp, which ran aground on Torrey on the 22nd of September 1884 while on its way to collect rates from the islanders. Also to be seen are seven war graves. Four contain the remains of English seamen killed in the last war, and the other three are German. The remains of the latter were exhumed and now lie in the German war graves at Glen Cree, County Wicklow. St. Begley's Kneeling Stone. St. Begley's Kneeling Stone is also known as the Wart Stone because, according to local tradition, the rainwater that gathers into the depressions in the stone is a cure for warts. Legend has it that St. Begley was being pursued by a pagan chieftain across Gortahark Hill. He fell to his knees on the stones and wrapped his cloak around himself. Suddenly, it became dark and Begley was able to escape. The chieftain then accepted Begley's Christian faith. The Taw Cross. The T-shaped Taw Cross on Torrey Island bears testament to the island's Christian history. It dates from early medieval times and has been carved from mica slate, which is not found anywhere on the island, suggesting that it was made elsewhere and brought to Torrey. It is thought to be a Terman cross, showing the boundary of a Christian church. There is only one other cross of its kind in Ireland, in Kilnaboy, County Clare. The Old Railway Line. The Londonderry and Lochswilly Railway Company opened the Letterkenny and Burton Port Extension Railway from Letterkenny to Burton Port on the 9th of March 1903. The line closed in 1947. Tullahabegley Graveyard. Tullahabegley is thought to be the oldest Christian burial ground of its size in northwest Donegal. St. Begley is said to have established the church here in the 6th century. The graveyard served the parishes of Guidoor and Clohanilly. Funerals from Guidoor crossed the mountains on foot, a 15-mile journey. The grave of Father Terence Craig, a priest killed in penal times by the hounds of the Redcoats, is an interesting one to visit. Three hounds, symbolising the way in which he died, and a chalice were etched on his tombstone. An annual commemorative walk takes place each year on the Sunday of the May Bank holiday weekend.